Do not attempt to adjust your programming. You are now listening to B-Movies and Beyond.
Yep, it's fine.
That's ours!
People copying us.
Yes! We're pew pews!
we
trademarked that shit. Man, I can't believe people are taking our thunder. Our pew pews, Ryan. Our pew pews!
Our pew pews. So, do those fines go to us?
Wait, you mean like the fines that we issue to them to get paid?
No, the NFL is,
without our permission?
Yeah, the NFL's doing the fines just on themselves. Now we just got to make them pay us.
Yeah, let's write a note to Roger Goodell.
Goodell. And also,
let's do it again.
Yeah, we're doing it again. Twice because we're nice.
I like that. That's good.
But no, other local sports podcasts, they're doing pew pews before their intro too. Remember the text?
Dude, they are stealing our shit, man. I don't like this. And like I said, I think we're gonna have to fight them. We're gonna have a podcast war.
I think and ours is so much better already.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh man, Peter, the writer's strike is over, and there's a lot of shit that came out. It was like they were waiting for the writer strike and the actor strike to end to tell us all kinds of shit.
It is. And this is, oh man, we got like a super size episode. We'll see if it goes long, but we're going to rush through. There's a lot of content in this episode.
A lot of trailers.
A lot of trailers. Ones. Yeah. Which, I mean, we really don't need to touch base on all of them, but maybe we'll just give a shout out. And there's even some that I didn't even write down. There's so many. They're just coming out. And I think you're right. I think as soon as that actor strike ended, they're like, oh, shit, release it all because now we can promote it.
Release the Kraken.
Yeah. So they're all in and they have released everything. And I don't know, a little bit too much. But you know what? I have no idea when any of these things are coming out. Well,
my favorite thing is I usually do about 10 to 15 minutes of research before I podcast every week.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. But this time, due to the amount of trailers and Netflix Geek Week, surprise, surprise, I've done 45 minutes of research before.
And the research is watching YouTube.
Watching YouTube. And just shout out to YouTube Premium because that has been the biggest godsend ever. I don't ever have to watch commercials for my trailers.
Yeah, you probably save like 15 minutes right there.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
Good on you.
I'm excited for some of these movie trailers, and Churro's looking at me like he's excited or sleepy. I think he's sleepy. And Geek Week. So Peter, fill me in on Geek Week a little bit of Netflix.
Oh, I think they started this back like in COVID time, like 2020, I believe. It's all virtual, and they just have like a week where I think they do like on YouTube, basically, where they just like have all this special content. They try to make like their own like Comic-Con.
Okay.
And so but it's all their content, right? So it's things that are coming. They give you sneak peeks. They give you interviews with the directors and the creative people behind these shows and series. And now they even got video games. Like, have you done like any of the video games from Netflix? Like,
I know Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge was on there.
Yes, absolutely. So like they're backing all these ones and producing them. And that's the other thing they kind of brought up, but I don't really play a lot of those, so I'm not going to talk about them. I kind of glossed over those.
Funny thing is, as big and powerful as Netflix is getting, on the other hand, Jeremy had an argument with me that Apple is buying everything, and the reason we're starting to see Apple products in Marvel movies is because they secretly bought Marvel from Disney, which I'm waiting for that news to happen. But I don't know if this is enough content for me to be like, oh yeah, Netflix is number one until they have better studios, because this just seems like a bunch of filler.
Yeah, I think let's go. I made a whole special section for the weekend.
Do we need music for it?
We don't have any, but I thought about it. I just thought like, are we getting right into it? Are we getting right into the Week Geek news?
Let's do it. We'll just do it in the background. Yeah.
All right. We're going to do it. It's on repeat. But, I mean, there's so much. We don't even have time for a quick question because there's just not enough time.
Quick question. Are you excited?
A Week Geek stuff?
A Week Geek, yeah.
A Week Geek. I thought there was some cool stuff that came out of it. So,
Let's get into it.
Yeah. All right. So this is pretty much like probably the biggest news, because I will be honest, I didn't watch any of it. I saw all the trailers being released and everything. And so I knew it was happening. I did not watch any of the special things, tune in live or anything. Nah. I think number one though that kicks off, and a lot of these are trailers, so that's why we're gonna have like different segments. This week kicks on its own, and we'll get into trailers and news. They did a new trailer for Rebel Moon, but this time it's just for part one, and it's called A Child of Fire, which I don't know if we knew that before. I think we just knew it was part one and part two, but now they actually have like a subtitle, A Child of Fire. This is Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder's Star Wars, right?
Yep, basically slash team up movie. Like, this is Zack Snyder's Star Wars Justice League. Because
fair enough.
I didn't even finish this trailer. I'll be honest, I didn't finish it. I was like, I get it, I understand what's going on, and I even wrote down like, okay, it's Zack Snyder. There's a lot of visuals, a lot of fighting, which actually looked really good fighting, and they're rebelling. And I put weird shit because it's the weird shit is the team up. Like, they were building a team to go rebel. Like, I just really felt like, oh man, he's trying to recreate Justice League. Like, and he's also trying to like take elements from Star Wars. Like, it just seems like all of it's done, but just in Zack Snyder's style.
How does this man keep on getting studios to back his projects up?
Well, I mean,
because what this really felt like is, hey, he almost had Disney being like, cool, totally should make a Star Wars movie. And then they're like, wait a minute, no, what are we doing? They like woke up from a high, and then he lost his project, but then he like got all kinds of bits and pieces of this project and went to Netflix and was like, hey guys, you guys should make this movie. And they're like, oh my god, that sounds awesome, we should totally do that.
Yeah, I mean, it works. I mean, that's Netflix, though. That is Netflix. Netflix jumps in. They swoop in to get these people that fans like love, because there is a big fandom for Zack Snyder, especially his the Snyderverse in DC, right? There's a big following on that. And, you know, and I feel like it's hit or miss with his stuff. There's been a lot of things that I've enjoyed. I mean, I like 300. I'm one of the people that likes Watchmen. But there's also
Watchmen.
Okay, good. There's a lot of people that don't like Watchmen. I don't know why.
Those people are stupid. If you would have told me Sucker Punch, I would have said you're stupid.
Yeah. I saw Sucker Punch is when I kind of started like, he's not as good as I thought. Same thing when I saw Man of Steel. I was like, ugh. And then it just kind of, in all the DC stuff, I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of the Snyderverse. I will say that he improved the Justice League. His vision of what Justice League was is so superior to what that monstrosity that Joss Whedon did. So I will give him that. And then I thought Army of the Dead was good. And didn't Zack Snyder also direct Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, that was his first movie ever.
Yeah, and I love that movie too. Like,
that was
a
great movie.
He's done a lot of good stuff. I think visually he's always there. It's just some of the content. I think sometimes it's a little bit too much in the weeds. And this is gonna be interesting because this is like this is his baby. So if I don't know if that's good or bad, that's what remains to be seen. But we got two of these movies releasing. Well, the first one's releasing December 22nd. The next one sometime in the next in 2024.
It remains to be seen. To let this one marinate to see if we like it or if it sucks.
Yeah.
And then so, they can make a big release out of the other one, or they can just quietly just like sneak it under the radar and say, oh yeah, we finished it. Okay, thanks, Zach. Goodbye. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll watch it. I already saw like from the even the first teaser, I was like, yeah, I'd watch that. It's on Netflix. I got that. I'll watch it. So how do you feel?
I would watch it. I like that we're getting movies that are like Star Wars, but they're not Star Wars, but they're from people who were tied into Star Wars, so we're getting a variant of Star Wars, but we're not getting Star Wars.
Yeah. Dude, this is almost like Michael Bay-esque, where it's just like, you know, Michael Bay was like, I want to see the Transformers do this, 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 and this. I don't care about the story. Just make it happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of how I felt, because there's like, at points during this trailer, there's someone riding like a Pegasus, basically. I'm like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
Never ending story.
Sure. Exactly. Like, there's someone that just has a spear that's just jumping at a spaceship, which we'll see how that ends.
I love it.
It's just all these weird things where, like, this is the weird shit that I was referring to. Is like, yes, this is totally Zack Snyder, where he has this idea and he's just like, we're going to do that. And it, we'll see if it works. Like, he just does not care. He, like, visually, it's probably going to look really cool. Like, on the trailer, it looks cool, but is it going to pan out? I don't know. So, like, that's the weird shit with it. And it's much like Michael Bay, where I don't know if it's going to flow well. So, we'll see.
To be determined.
Yeah.
But I'm in. The one I'm not in for is, I don't even know how to say it, Gyeongsang Creature.
Yeah, so this is a Korean movie.
Netflix, I speak English, dude.
I think it's going to be English sub, which I might do that. But here's the thing. Okay, this is also coming out December 22nd. And guess what? It's a part one of apparently who knows how many parts.
It's a part one of part don't care.
Well, is it because so like that trailer did nothing? Like,
yes.
They had like weird like music and then they're just running around with rifles and you didn't know why. And it was kind of like slow motion, like rifle running, like nothing happened in this trailer. So I'm with you on the fact that like, I don't get this, but I'm not totally writing it off because all I know is a creature feature. And you know, I love creature features.
True. I know of a creature feature that just premiered in Japan that got amazing ratings at Rotten Tomatoes that we'll see at the end of the month.
Oh, it's not this one?
No, it's Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, minus one.
Minus one. Nice. This one is a minus one for me. Hey, my December 22nd, I'm watching Rebel Moon. I'm not watching Gyeongsang Creature. Sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is one where, like, the part one made me sad and like, I don't know if I really want to watch that because I don't want to know if I want to invest another part to this, another time for part two.
Netflix, you got one series with one part one and one part two that have my interest.
Yeah, you cannot and release them on the same date? Are you crazy? What are you thinking, Netflix?
Yeah, we don't binge your shit anymore the way that we used to.
I don't have the time.
Terminator animated series, anime series.
Yes, series. Yeah.
That's no trailer for that, but that's all we know. That's well, cool.
There was kind of a trailer. I didn't put it on there because literally all it was just the music. And then they just had like flashes of words on it. It's basically saying that it's coming. So I didn't think it was necessary. You got the gist of it, is that Terminator anime series is coming to Netflix at some point soon. This one, though, I will say I'm actually pretty excited about this. But the Devil May Cry anime series as well is okay. coming to Netflix. And again, I didn't put the trailer because it was one of those behind the scenes things. And like, I don't really care. But you actually got to see some of like the artwork, the animation. And it looked really sweet. But this is a video game, based on a video game. Did you ever play these?
Loved 1 and 2. Lost me at 3.
I don't know if I ever got to 3, but I'm with you. 1 and 2 were amazing. And so yeah. I'm pretty excited for this anime series because I think it's great, you know, great story with Dante. And you get to see a lot of crazy shit. And so I'm pretty excited about it.
And then when they switch over, the company that made Devil May Cry went over to make their own studio, and they made Bayonetta. And Bayonetta is a fun game.
Really?
There's a lot of chick butts in that one. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
chick
yeah.
butts.
Chick butts. Lots of chick butts.
Yeah. So
What? Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of these, though, I have no idea when they're coming.
A lot of animes. So if you're an anime fan, you're going to love Netflix.
Yeah.
And speaking of animes, Exploding Kittens.
Yeah, I guess it's anime, but
not animated. It's animated.
Oh, animated. Yes, anime and animated. They're all animated.
Yeah, it just depends if it's the Koreans animating them or the Japanese.
True. Good point.
Yeah. this is based off the card game,
which is pretty fun.
About a god kitten who is like living on Earth.
Yeah, basically.
Cool.
I thought the trailer actually looked pretty fun and entertaining, like a adult animation. I like that because I don't know, I didn't know first off that there was enough to actually make a series of this from that game. I just thought it was just a kooky game. This could be very easily like, you know, go down the lines of like Battleship, right? Mm-hmm. This might be terrible. But
Exploding Kittens, if I'm not mistaken, was based off a comic book.
Wait, what?
I thought they did like a comic strip, kind of like that other game that we play, Expose Them or something.
Expose Them? Is that what you
said? Yeah, it's
Expose Them. This is an adult game, huh?
Yeah, what is that stupid adult game where like they have the round heads and they do the weird
I've never heard of this ride. I just thought you were talking about like Munchkins or something.
No. I forgot the name of the card game, but we play it every once in a while, and it's like it's kind of like Cards Against Humanity, but you get the one card, and they're all visuals of the green guy and the blue guy.
And is that like, that's not like the red versus blue.
Kinda. But they're crude.
I played this?
Yeah. I think you have it.
I think
I got it for you. Joking Hazard.
Oh.
Cyanide and Happiness. There we go.
Yeah, I don't know. But maybe they're going to get their own series soon. I don't know. But so you're saying, though, that maybe Exploding Kittens had a comic before the game, or did the game come first and then a comic?
I thought it was an internet comic that came out. It was totally Exploding Kitties. It was a website, and then it turned into its own. Yeah, the website was literally Exploding Kittens, and they had their own like little Sunday morning kind of cartoon every week.
I had no idea, but I guess that makes sense. I do. What's Churro barking at?
Exploding kittens.
Oh.
Yeah, Anarchy Pancake, like throw burrito, stuff like that.
Okay. I know I had the burrito game.
Oh, the oatmeal. It was the oatmeal. That was the name of the comics. The comic was called the oatmeal.
I don't know. Whoever made this, though, I mean, it's just ingenious that they got a game and a show now.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Comic, games, and books. The oatmeal. Yeah. They're crazy. Making money. I didn't watch this one. Dead Boy Detectives.
I didn't finish it. Another series from Neil Gaiman. Is that how you pronounce it?
Neil. I think it's pronounced Neil Gaiman.
This is, he did Sandman, which, did you ever watch the Sandman?
I tried.
Did you? Is it bad?
It's really tough for me to follow series, dude. I have a better chance of watching a movie than I do a TV series.
I'm with you, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm not hooked, like, within that first episode, like, it's a good chance I don't watch the second one and then I'm done. And then everyone says, oh, it gets so much better. I'm like, well, you should do a better job at the first episode.
Yeah. I don't have to watch, like, four episodes before it gets better. And then eventually I'll find one of those series where I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a really good series. Succession. It took, like, four episodes to get good. And then I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm hooked.
See ya. There you go. I mean, but you had to power through it. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously, they must be capitalizing on this. The Sandman must have done well. And I think they actually got renewed for a second season for the Sandman. So,
good. Good for him.
Yeah. But so you got another one. The next one, Millie Brown is doing some more stuff for Netflix, which, do you think... Did these, like, child actors that work for Netflix, like, they just, like, Netflix, like, owns them?
Yes. It's okay. Like Disney. Disney owned Britney Spears, Ryan Gosling, all of them. Like,
yeah.
They're becoming their own Disney. Disney.
Yep. I just don't understand, like, they gotta do, like, some child labor laws or something. Well, how old is she now? Do you know how old
she is? She's, like, 18 now, yeah.
Oh, then it's all good, then. They can do whatever they
want. Yeah, she's starting to make her own decisions.
Oh, and I messed up her name. It's Millie Bobby Brown. I thought there was some more to that. Millie Brown did not sound right.
I like how her name is Bobby Brown.
That is pretty fun. Do you think that's like a stage name or that's like her actual name?
Her actual name is Millie Bobby Brown. So somewhere her parents were really big Whitney Houston Bobby Brown fans.
Yeah. Nice. Well, she's gonna be a prince.
Yeah,
she's gonna be a princess. Marries a prince and then is sent to be sacrificed by those prince's parents, I believe. And she, and the movie is called Damsel.
Well, I think some people will like that movie.
I like the premise, but from that trailer. Like, I don't feel like this happens too often, but that trailer turned me off to this film.
Yeah,
you're with me?
Yes, 100%. I was midway through the trailer. I was like, I'm bored. I don't want to watch this. So I'm saying some people will like this, but I'm not going to watch it.
I mean, I probably will. Again, it's on Netflix. I don't know when it's coming out. I think next year. But yeah, I'm with you. I was bored. And then you read what it's about. I'm like, oh, that sounds fun, right? That sounds entertaining.
Sure. Like Princess Bride, maybe.
Yeah. And then the trailer loses me. So that's not a good sign because, well, actually, it doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad sign because trailer, usually it's a different person cutting the trailer together than the director. So it could be totally 100% like different. So I don't know. I'll probably give it a shot, but it's not going to be something that I rush out to because right now it looks like garbage. And if you want a good princess movie that's like like this, where the princess is a badass and has to fight off all these things, watch The Princess on Hulu. It is fucking amazing. I reviewed it, or I recommended it before, and it's a tower movie, Ryan. You'll love it.
I remember you talking about this, and I love tower movies.
Yeah, it's good, but it's in reverse. She goes down the tower.
You're going to love my review, because I get to talk about princesses.
Oh, I was going to say towers?
Is there a tower? No, not really. Bummer. Princesses.
Of course, Netflix is coming out with more anime, but this anime movie with The Witcher, Sirens of the Deep. I didn't watch this. I just put it down. I don't really care. I really, because I tried watching the live action Witcher and I couldn't get into that. I'm off. I'm done with all The Witcher. So,
yep. They didn't captivate me during a video game. They're not going to get me on a live action show, and they're certainly not going to get me on an anime.
Oh, so even the video game didn't get you, really?
Yeah, not really, no.
I always wanted to play the video game, but I never got it, never did it.
I love video games, but I also hate that they have to be so epic. Like, I can go into a rant on how the Dreamcast is the best system ever because you popped in a game and you could start playing it and you can shut it off. Any other game after that on PlayStation or Nintendo, or even, hell, even Xbox, you have to, like, build up your character, live your life, like cook. I don't need to do real life shit in my video games. I need to just play a video game, you know?
So and this one, Witcher's a little bit like open world stuff.
Yeah, you can have open. Yeah. Spider-Man's perfect open world. Like, I'm not like cutting my hair in the middle of the game. Like, everything I'm doing in Spider-Man is I'm doing a mission, you know? Yeah. Even if it doesn't feel like a mission. The Witcher just. I don't need to collect shit like mana or like stuff like that. Sorry, that's my rant. They don't have me.
I got you. That's why I don't do like World of Warcraft, that stuff. I don't get it because it takes too long to like get to a point where like, oh, now I can go do shit. So yeah. I'm with you.
This one's cool.
Yeah, you like this one?
Masters of the Universe.
Did you watch the other one?
No.
So not that cool.
Not that cool. I just realized that Mattel's pumping out Masters of the Universe action figures like nobody's business. Everywhere, dude. Speaking of this news, Toy Collectors, they released a Ninja Turtle and Masters of the Universe collab collection. So finally, for the first time in 36, 37 years, Ninja Turtles have coincided in the Masters of the Universe action figure realm, so you can get a buff Leonardo just like you did He-Man.
That's always what we wanted.
Buff Leo.
Yeah.
And mutated He-Man. Oh, and I just realized Skeletor, it would be a really cool cosplay for Comic Cons.
Wait, I want to... Is there pictures of what this is going to be?
The series? Or the toys?
Yeah, this toy line?
Yeah, they're out. Just look up like TMNT Masters of the Universe.
Oh, like about a month ago or so?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Dude, anything that's mutated, man, I love that. Dude, when they did the... Batman versus like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, dude, that was so cool. I love it. Yeah, I'm looking at some of these, and it's like kind of like old school like toys too. I like that.
Yeah, I like the Masters of the Universe line because they even did like a wrestling line where the wrestlers were in that universe. Like, you could just plug and play anybody into that universe and. That's kind of what I see out of this newer one because it seems a little bit more updated with some technology and some digital kind of ness, and Skeletor seems a little updated. I think Skeletor is just such a cool bad guy at all times. I think He-Man is a little prissy bitch, but I think Skeletor is a badass.
Yeah, well, and you know who voices him, right?
Is it Spawn?
What?
No. Spawn's voice was in that.
Maybe, but it's Mark Hamill. He's Skeletor.
Oh, even better.
And this one. So this is Masters of the Universe Revolution. This is like the second, I guess, season of the one that Kevin Smith did, which I thought there was tons of backlash that people hated that. So the fact that they got a second season is astounding. But I think it also goes to show is that Netflix does not release these numbers. Well, actually, that might start changing now because that writer strike or the actor strike. But like, I just remember that there's this kind of all kinds of negative reviews on it. And I started watching. I actually thought it was pretty good, but it was kind of weird that it kind of went away from He-Man. It was more about She-Ra, I believe.
Woke.
Yeah, it was very woke, but it must have got better. But dude, Skeletor, I mean, Mark Hamill's Skeletor was fucking awesome. So
Mark Hamill doing anything is fucking awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe I should give that another chance and try to finish that because now there's another season coming out. The next couple ones are all about, you know, taking those animes and making live action, which this one, I don't even know if I and realized this was happening, but does Yu Yu Hakusho mean anything to you, Ryan?
Nope.
No. Okay. So what about the Spirit Detective?
Is that same thing?
Well, yeah, it's. I think it was called Yu Yu Hakusho or Hakusho. Yeah, I think it's Shu. The Spirit Detective. I think it was the full title. And I did, like, Sergio and I were, like, big into this. Actually, Sergio, this is before streaming, man. He would buy all like the series on like DVD or Blu-ray or some shit. I think it was on DVD actually, and I would just take them from Sergio and wash them off because I was going to pay for that. I think I watched all of them, and I really enjoyed it. But that was like when I was in my anime phase, you know, kind of out of that. But now they're making live action, and man, when you see that kind of stuff in live action, did you watch this trailer?
Yeah, I thought it looked nice.
Yeah, but did you see a man with the fucking pacifier in his mouth?
And yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of weird shit that I think fits into an anime that I don't know works with a live action. I guess they're staying true to it, but at the same time, I'm like, wow, that looks fucking weird.
Well, that's kind of like, I mean, what was the other one that just, the pirate one, One Piece.
Oh, One Piece. Yeah, I have not watched that.
But that was one of the most popular animes in Japan. And like, it doesn't, dude, it's just so hard to translate to real life. Death Note was another one, you know, everything just looked very goofy and campy. You know, the last Airbender movie, like that was just weird too, you know?
Well, that one was weird, and now there's a series coming in. Good segue, Ryan. Which I don't know. Like, I never watched the anime, so I don't know. Like, I can't tell if it actually looks good and is what it's supposed to be. Like, for all I know, is that M. Night Shyamalan did a great job on the movie, and it just sucks. You know?
Yeah. Like, he did everything technically right, or no, he did everything that was like a fan service and nobody liked it.
Yeah, and like in from this trailer, like I don't know if I've seen like it looks more drama based and maybe, you know, not so, I don't know what the right term is, like kid friendly, I guess. Like it looks more drama, and maybe that was the difference between like the movie and this. But overall, I'm like, no, they're doing the exact same shit that happened in the movie. I don't know.
Let an anime be an anime. In my opinion. But
I'll shrug. Yeah, I
money.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch a couple episodes of each of Yu Yu and Avatar. Maybe. I don't know. not on the top of the to-do list. Speaking of, I'm actually going to go to this last one, this Pokemon Concierge thing. I thought this was a joke, to be honest. Oh, man.
They'll make a Pokemon out of anything. Or they'll make a series of Pokemon anything. But, okay, Peter.
Yeah.
While the concept seems very goofy, what this girl like gets a dream job where she's a concierge, and then they're like, by the way, you got to be a concierge to Pokemon.
Pokemon Resort.
Yeah, she's trying to like communicate with the Pokemon. And of course, they got to throw Psyduck in there because he's fucking weird. But what I liked about it was I liked the kind of plastic claymation fuzzy style.
Did you? The stop motion, huh?
Yeah, I did. I liked it because it was very... They look like anime characters. The Pokemon were true to their style. And it seemed very stop motion claymation kind of like. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. Nice spin on changing it, you know, from directly live action with CGI or just going completely anime.
Okay. That's interesting. I think I had the adverse response to that. Like, I started to think, like, man, I don't know if I like this. Like, it was, I had mixed feelings, I will say. It's like, I thought it was so weird. And maybe it's just because I'm not a big Pokemon fan.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's because, like, and it also brought me back to, like watching, like, those like, holiday movies, you know, like the specials where it was all stop motion. That was the other thing. Like, it reminded me of that, but I don't know. I got mixed feelings. I think it's just maybe it's the concept, but I don't know, Ryan. I don't know. I'm very torn up about this, and I need to process my feelings.
Can I be honest with you? Like, yeah. While I enjoyed the animation style, this isn't a series I'd go out and watch.
Okay. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what my deal is that, but
maybe if it was Pokemon Snap and they did this animation, that'd be cool. But the whole premise of them like on a Pokemon resort, I'm not their audience.
I don't know. Okay, let's put it this way. I think I'm with you. The animation, the claymation stuff, the stop motion, like, yeah, like, I can respect it, right? I'm like, yes, that looks good. But at the same time, because of the content, I'm not on board. And yeah, that's what took me out of it, is that, like, I don't want to see these Pokemon as claymation stuff. Like, that was my issue with it, is, like, visually, like when they brought like Pikachu on there, and you can see like the fuzzies on him, and right. I thought like, wow, that's really impressive. But then then they go to like one like the characters, and like they start talking about this stupid shit. I'm like, ah, this is garbage.
Yeah, they look plastic, and the Pikachu look fuzzy.
Yeah, so like,
and Psyduck was a good fuzz too.
Yeah, true. Like when you like. If I was to look at these things, like if I saw like displays of them, I'd be like, wow, that's pretty impressive. But the actual show itself, I think, makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
Do you want to talk about this Code 8?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the first one, but I like Stephen Amell.
Yeah. And it says, and his brother's in it too. And
I thought that was just a clone of him.
No, and I think I actually reviewed this. I watched this movie, Code 8.
Okay.
And what I didn't realize is that I didn't know that was kind of like a fan, you know, like produced film. Like that, it must have had like a Kickstarter or something. Is Kickstarter still a thing, by the way? Or is it GoFundMe? Yes. Is that everything that does everything now?
I think it's both. I think you can do both.
Okay. Either way, I guess it was fan made, probably through one of those platforms, and I thought it was actually pretty decent. It's Code 8 was the, you know, these people have powers, and it's the, you know, how they live throughout life, where basically they're not supposed to use their powers, and they're controlled by, you know, the government and, you know, people that don't have powers, and it's them kind of breaking free of that, or at least this small group anyways. And so now that we're actually, there's a Code 8 Part 2 that's backed by Netflix, which again, we're right back to Netflix jumps in, sees something that the fans really enjoy, and like, all right, we'll take that and we'll roll with it. Like, yep. They can make like a whole universe of this. And it might be pretty good, to be honest. So they're getting a second one. The trailer kind of shows glimpses of certain things, and I think it's coming out early 2024, but it looks decent, and I'll watch it. I'm yeah. Totally on board.
I thought it was you said brother of Stephen Amell. His name is Robbie Amell.
Yep, that's him.
But they're cousins, but they look the same.
They look identical. Yes.
I thought they did some weird CGI bullshit where they're like, oh yeah, you could totally just CGI them together. I was like, oh, okay, I believe that. But nope, they're family.
Yeah.
We
did it.
We did
it. There was probably even more, but that was like the biggest stuff. At least that's from that article, which probably not the biggest for us, but I thought it warranted just to talk about and just kind of give quick reactions. We got even more, and let's keep it moving, Ryan. Let's hit the trailers.
Here are some exciting coming attractions from Movies and Beyond.
So even though we just did a shit ton of trailers, there's even more, which I'm going to blitz through some of these. I just want to go pretty quick, and I'm going to start with maybe the weirdest. Well, one that I don't think there's much to say about. There's a new teaser trailer for Inside Out 2, which I didn't know they were making.
Did you watch it?
The trailer? Yeah, the teaser trailer, yeah. I forgot about it, but yeah, I watched it.
So the premise behind this is anxiety shows up.
Yeah, the girl is getting older, it seems like, right? Some new emotions.
But what? Okay, so the little pill-looking things that just knock through their like headquarters, mm-hmm. were those pills to stop anxiety?
Oh, shit. I did not put that together, but you could
be right. Dude, if Pixar's going to go with that, this movie might get like pretty fucking serious.
Dude, did you watch Inside Out, the first one?
Yeah, a while ago. Yeah, and I remember it was kind of like a serious movie too. And I wonder if Pixar is just going to up the ante on it.
Well, I mean, it seems like it's an older version, so a lot more different emotions. And just being anxious that's a huge one. Like, I'm excited because I enjoyed the first one. I thought it was very good, well made, and it made you think. And this one, I think, is going to go even deeper with that and probably even be more emotional because it's I think it's a big change. So I'm excited what they're doing. I think this will be probably a huge hit because I think it'll be that perfect line, which Pixar does so well, right? It's something for those adults and it makes you really think and everything, but it's also entertaining enough for all the kids to be like, oh man, this is so funny, you know, like it's perfect. So I'm pretty excited. The one I'm not super excited about is they're making a Garfield movie and CGI Garfield movie. And guess who's voicing Garfield?
Let me guess. Does his name start with a Chris?
Yeah, it's one of the Chris's.
Oh, okay, cool. And has he done voiceover work in the past?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just seems like that's all he's doing now.
Was he Mario?
Mm-hmm.
What? So Garfield and Mario are the same?
Exactly the same person. I was shocked. I was blown away that they have Chris Pratt voicing another, I mean, iconic, like, character, right? Like,
Bill Murray is Garfield.
I agree.
Bill Murray is always Garfield. It doesn't matter how old Bill Murray is. You capture his voice and you make him Garfield forever. Yeah.
When they started this, like that, when the trailer started, I was like, oh, please be Garfield. Like, that is who it has to be. Obviously, it's not. It's not him. It's Chris Pratt again. Mm-hmm. But also, Samuel L. Jackson's in it. So that's kind of cool. This is like the Scoob. They made Scoob, right? It's like the origin story of Garfield. And I don't know. I'm sure I'll watch it with the kids at some point, but it just seems, I don't know, like these studios are just grasping at shit, you know? And the only person they go to is like, who can voice this? You know who has a wide range, but not really? Chris Pratt.
I think Chris Pratt needs more money. What's he doing?
Yeah.
You know who would have been a good? I mean, you wouldn't even have to announce it. I think even Jason Momoa would have been a good Garfield.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like a little sneak, like under the radar. Like he has that cool kind of vibe, but like a little grunty, but he has a little bit of a range. He could have some fun. I think that would have been a good Garfield, but it wouldn't sell. Chris Pratt's name sells. Oddly enough.
Yes. Oddly enough, because I kind of personally, how is this possible that he's just doing nothing but like kids movies? Like, are kids really like, oh man, Chris Pratt, I need to go see him. You know, like, I don't think that's a thing. I don't think kids think that way, right?
No.
Like, I don't understand. Like, you could have put anyone as the Garfield voice, and it probably would, it's going to do just as well as if it didn't have Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt is the new Ryan Reynolds for voice actor movies.
The Ryan Reynolds,
even Ryan Reynolds could be an awesome Garfield.
Yeah, pretty much you put any big name star in there, you could have been
a Keanu Reeves
Garfield.
Dude, yeah. You know who would be a good Garfield?
Keanu Reeves?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Go watch the Croods. He was the dad of the Croods. He would have been an awesome Garfield. Hands down. He did
do a good job on the Croods. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, what I liked about this trailer and what I didn't like was I like how it started off and it was like kind of sad. I felt bad for baby Garfield.
Yeah.
And then I just saw Garfield and I realized, oh, wait, I don't care about this character at all. I don't care about Odie. I don't care about John. I don't care about Garfield's dad. I don't care.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too. So, but I guess it's not for us, for the kids.
Do you want to go DC or Marvel?
I was going to do DC because I was like thinking, speaking of kids.
Yeah, okay.
Merry Little Batman, which,
what?
At first, I thought this was a joke again. I thought it was a joke.
Okay.
And then the second thing is the fact that, like, it's going to be on Amazon Prime, which I was like, well, that seems like a mistake, right? It should be on HBO Max, but
right.
I don't know what's going on there. We can get into that a little bit later, but Merry Little Batman animated movie, I guess, or special of Batman's son, kind of. It's the origin story of Damian getting a Batman suit, basically. I mean, I don't. Said in Christmas time,
dude. You said animated. This has been one of the weirdest looking animated movies I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's not the weirdest part of this. The weirdest part is the voice cast.
Oh, I didn't even look at that. Who's the voice? Voices.
Bruce Wayne is Luke Wilson.
Oh, yeah, that sounded familiar. Uh-huh.
Alfred Pennyworth is James Cromwell.
Who's that?
He is, let me pull him up real quick. He is in Succession. He was a brother. He's in Star Trek Lower Decks. He is in Big Hero 6. He is in, oh my gosh, what face is he in? You would recognize his face if you saw him right away.
Yeah, okay. So, but he's done some other stuff. He's
been in Revenge of the Nerds, First Contact, LA Confidential. Oh, he was the old man in Babe, dude.
Oh, okay. Now I know who he is.
There you go. And then here's the funny one. Do you watch It's Always Sunny?
Yeah.
Okay. Guess who the voice of Cricket is? Or, oh, dang it. Guess who the voice of the Joker is?
It's Cricket.
It's Cricket. Cricket is the voice of the Joker in this one. Oh,
guess who Cricket is? I mean, as far as like voice acting goes, I'm watching it. I was like, this is nowhere like compared to like, you know, what's been done previously. But what I thought was what saves it, I think, is the silliness behind it. Like, this is straight up, this is it kind of looks like the new, like what that Scott Pilgrim series is going to come out, kind of like that and kind of silly. And that was actually something they put out in Geek Week too, but it's like, we already knew that's coming out. It's coming out very soon. But yeah, it has that style. And also just like the comedy, like, you know, there's a part where, you know, Batman has a beard. And he's like, I think it adds to the, I forgot the exact thing, but it adds to the costume basic where Alfred's like, no, you should shave it. But like, you know, things like that makes it look pretty comical. You know, this is going to be a very silly version of Batman, like probably even sillier than Lego Batman. So,
you know what this just gave you, though?
What's that?
Gave you a costume.
I can be bearded Batman. Yeah, absolutely. I can be.
You can be like, I'm Batman, but I'm Batman from Merry Little Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. So
have some donut crumbs in your beard.
Yeah. My guess is probably going to be like, you know, it's like a special. It's probably gonna be like maybe 45 minutes long or something on Amazon Prime. That's Yeah, exactly. It is fine. Like that's probably, to be honest, maybe that's even a little bit too long. Maybe it needs to be a half an hour. Maybe it will be, I don't know, but this would be a little funny thing to watch with Batman that we all love for the holiday season, and I think that's perfect. And I guess I feel like we're done with that. I thought that, you know, but what is going on? Did Warner Brothers, did DC just like give away all their shit?
I think so.
Because pretty much like all the DC shit is on Amazon Prime, right?
Oh, good point. Good point.
Like, I was scrolling through there because, you know, I do that occasionally because like Amazon usually has a lot of, like, crappy movies that we like to watch. And I saw all, like, the DC stuff was there. I was like, what the hell? Like, I thought this was all, like, Max, exclusively on Max. Like, what's going on here? But it's all on Amazon as well. And the fact that this is coming to Amazon and not to Max is... I guess I don't know who owns HBO or and Max or what, but there was like something happened. Like I don't know. Warner Brothers is just selling everything to anyone now, it seems like.
Wow, you're right. Like, I just pulled up Prime and all of it is on here.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know what's going on. Like I guess they're done with Max, but I think it's still on Max as well.
Oh, this is interesting. I picked Justice League Doom, and I'm on Prime, and it says watch with Max. And confirm your Max plan.
Wait, so... Oh, so it's not really on Amazon Prime? It's really... You gotta have a Max subscription through Prime?
Somewhat. Some stuff is, but some stuff is straight up on Amazon Prime. Like the top-rated movie Catwoman with Halle Berry. That's on Prime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude. We should... I think we should watch that and just talk about that one for an episode.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, we should do that. That'd be fun. Okay.
I like the photo they used for Batman and Robin. It's just Alicia Silverstone with her, like, face.
Dude, it is. Oh, man.
Let me get a photo of this.
Between.
Look at that shit.
I love it. That's fantastic. That's what they picked to put on there. You know, I think Amazon is making improvements, but it reminds me of like YouTube, man. YouTube, like, they just know, like, they got to put a good thumbnail on there. Because that's what makes you click on it, right? And that's all they're after. And they'll put, like, you know, usually, like, at least for what I see, and maybe it's because I'm a guy, is like some hot chick on there. I'm like, oh, let's click on that. Let's see what happens. I literally just saw one. And maybe I shouldn't admit this, but I saw one where I clicked on it. It had, like, this chicken and bathing suit, and as the video went through, literally there's just a random flash of it, and then it disappeared. Nothing to do with the video.
That's not any better than you, like, watching YouTube videos of girls just, like, trying on clothes, and it's just their excuse to get nudity on there.
Yeah, this is not for sexual purposes or to be like an OnlyFans. This is strictly for fashion.
This is just me putting on these comfy underwears.
Yeah, yeah. Look at how they look on my buttocks.
Speaking about comfy underwears, should we go into Madame Web?
Yeah, let's do it. There's been a few just... Tis the season, man. There's been some big trailer drops. I was not expecting this.
Tis the season. So, Madame Web is the all-girl Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All Spider-Woman movie.
Plus, so we get... plus Adam Scott.
Oh, yeah.
He's in it, too.
Yeah. I like the villain Spider-Man is totally like some sort of Amazonian Mexican Spider-Man who looks, his costume looks like it came from like, oh man, it looks like a bad like late 90s Spawn type of costume where like you could tell they really like put it on him and he's just full of rubber. And you're like, that's a weird Spider-Man costume. But about Madame Web, she could predict the future. This is a young Madame Web because in the animated series she was a very old lady, right?
I don't know, dude. I never read all I know about Madame Web is from the animated series of Spider-Man. That's it.
And she was an old lady who sat in that chair and was like, this is what you gotta do with Spider-Man, and he's like, no, and he's weird, having weird like flashback memories and stuff.
Yeah,
that's what I remember. I don't see any Spider-Man in this movie. I see a bunch of spider women, which they're terrible at their costumes because you could tell who they are. So they don't cover up their face.
You're saying there's more than one? But yeah, they don't cover up their face. There's more than one?
You didn't see the multiple spider women?
Dude, I took that as the same person with different, you know, costumes because, you know, they like to change clothes.
No. When she gets with the group of girls, when Dakota Johnson.
Yeah.
She's Madame Web when she's hanging out with all those other girls and they make that connection together. Those are all spider women.
Yeah, but like you're saying there's this part in this trailer where like they all had costumes on?
Yeah. Go back and watch it.
Yeah, that's kind of like, well, it was so fast. But yes, I'm seeing some different, this is images of them.
Yeah, and if you look at their names, you can see what different spider women they are.
Interesting. Well, I don't know.
You don't watch this one?
Here's what I'll say. It looked better than what I was expecting. When we first heard about this, I thought this is a terrible idea. And now seeing the trailer, I was like, eh, it looks kind of entertaining. It's very big into, you know, it's just all Spider-Man. Like, that's all I got from this. It's the evil Spider-Man. And then there's a Spider-Woman and there's this Madam Web. But I'm like, I don't really know how they're connected besides they just have throughout the trailer. There's webbing. Like, I don't get it. Like, there's a part where she's like shooting, you know, mystical shit from her hands. I'm like, that's not Spider-Man. That's, I don't know what this is.
I don't get these characters.
I don't get it. But at the same time, it was almost just like they're like just fighting a Spider-Man. Like, so is this like a counter thing to Spider-Man? And also the other part too, which I'm curious about, is that like, it did they kind of mention like maybe like a multiverse type deal here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I'm starting to think, like, oh, is this going to have some connection to
Miles
the Morales? Other, maybe that slash even there, technically, Venom and the Spider-Man that we know from the Marvel movies, the MCU, they're in different universes. So they're kind of making a way now to like kind of connect that. Like I didn't even think about how Sony has to almost
tiptoe,
course correct, figure out a way so they can get their Spider-Man into their universe, into their Spider-Verse. Like it's just so like it's so ridiculous. And I think that's why they're like, well, we have to do a Madam Web movie because this is how they're going to do it.
Yeah, that's why I think Miles Morales is going to be Sony Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And whoever we get as Peter Parker is going to be Disney's, all until Apple buys one or the other.
Or both. Yeah, because then they can really combine everything.
Because a lot of stuff for Apple TV is made in Sony Picture Studios.
I know. And remember there was talk about Apple buying Sony and that didn't happen.
Right. And now there's talk about Apple buying Disney. Who are they going to buy?
Does Apple really have that much money to buy Disney?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
What is Apple worth, dude?
Do a quick search. Do a search of that and Disney and tell me why
Apple has a market cap or net worth of $9.2 trillion.
Wow. And what's Disney?
$166.64
billion. How the hell did they not buy everything already? I don't understand this. How do they not buy Sony then?
Sony is, what's Sony's net worth? $102 billion. Dude, yeah. Apple can Apple can go in and buy Hollywood.
They can buy everything.
They can buy everything. Buy Hollywood. $1 trillion, dude. I've never known a company to have $1 trillion.
I did not think they were worth that much, but insane. Okay.
Apple's going to save the MCU.
Probably.
Jeremy has a theory that it's happening because if you watch the Marvels, they introduce the term iPad and iPhone into it, which has never happened before in Marvel movies until this one. Shit. Spoiler alert to my review.
Yeah, there you go. That's fine, though. But last thing before we move on, there is a new trailer for What If Season 2, the animated series on Disney+, which... The first season I thought was awesome, and I'm super excited for this next season. And again, in true Holiday fashion, and I believe this drops the 22nd of December, but there's 9 episodes, and they're releasing one a day. I love this idea. Yeah, yep. It's fantastic. So, love it. Can't wait. I think that's probably going to be the thing that's actually going to get me to come back to Disney Plus. I was thinking about canceling it.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why I think I haven't done that is because our 7-year-old now, she loves it. And like she, you know, we download stuff for her to watch, you know, when we do things. So like if it wasn't for her, that thing would probably be scrapped, and I would probably do monthly, like, all right, this month I want to watch this thing, so I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah,
but I guess they got another year's worth from me. Way to go, Disney.
Those jerks. Wait till Apple buys them.
Yeah. And now we're going into moot news. We did more
quick news.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was a cool little thing.
I like your change on there.
Yeah, I realized I wrote it wrong.
The actor strike is now over.
Yes, finally. Thank you. This is
why we're getting all these trailers and all this news. And probably on top of that news, Marvel, after many months of speculation and it being someone from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the Fantastic Four have their director and they have their Reed Richards.
Yeah, they haven't changed directors, right? It's still Mark Webb, correct?
Or no.
Who is it?
He was the director of, his name is Matt Shakman.
Oh, wasn't it Mark Webb at some point?
I think the guy who did Spider-Man, right? John Watts.
Oh, yeah. That's who I was thinking of. Yeah, John Watts.
Matt Shakman has directed plenty of episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He directed an episode of WandaVision, Fargo, and Game of Thrones. So he is a pretty good director in this sense. Succession. He's done Billions. He's okay. I like his resume. But the big news is Reed Richards is Mexican.
Yeah!
And friends with Nick Cage.
Oh, yeah, good point. Oh, dude, if he did a cameo. Nick Cage. they were talking about having him come back as Ghost Rider.
Ooh. Oh, that'd be the best. There's only two other people I'd be okay with Ghost Rider besides Nick Cage.
Who's that?
Norman Reedus.
I like it.
And Keanu Reeves.
I like that too.
Yeah.
Both good.
But how come my favorite space Mexican, the Mandalorian, the Oscar Isaac. No.
What? Pedro Pascal.
Thank you, Pedro.
Oscar Isaac. He's Moon Knight, man.
He's Moon Knight. Wow, I can't believe I word vomited that. And yeah. You know what's funny? Right when I said Oscar Isaac, I pictured Oscar Isaac, but the rest of it was Pedro Pascal. So comicbook.com announced today that Pedro Pascal is going to be Reed Richards. Cool. A little old in my book, but I'm okay with it.
How old is he?
Pedro Pascal?
Yeah.
1975? Dude's old. He's 48.
Dude, I don't know. Dude, he could be like Liam Neeson, though. He just keep on going.
True.
Going and going and going. I think it's good casting. I think it's good.
He's a good actor. Yeah. I'm curious to see who they pair him up with.
I know, and that's going to be the interesting part. Like, you know, is Storm... I'm not Storm.
Sue Richards.
What is she going to look like? You know, like this is a family thing. So like, you kind of know, like, all right, well, they're all going to be Mexican now. So, and, you know, who are they going to get? Like, who's going to be Johnny Storm?
Well, Sue and Johnny don't have to be Mexican.
Oh, yeah, because Johnny is Sue's brother, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right there.
They could be a diverse family.
Yeah, they could. And they probably will, right? Because it's Disney still.
Did you watch that South Park episode?
Oh, no, the Pandaverse stuff?
Still good.
Nah, not yet. I heard it's good, though.
Describes the Marvels like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Speaking about Avengers, King Dynasty lost their director.
Oh, wait. Hang on. Sorry. I forgot something. I saw something, and I don't know if this is fact or fiction. I saw something that Pedro Pascal's not returning for The Mandalorian Season 4.
They've been saying that for every fucking season.
Okay, so this is probably just something they're just throwing out. The fact that, we already know that he really doesn't always, he's not always there, like, but he does the voice. Like, why
can't he? He has the easiest contract with this ever.
Yeah, like, he can keep on doing the voice. So, okay. I saw that, and I was like, and then the fact that I saw it literally, I think, like, today, and then this news broke of him being Reed Richards, and like, oh, is there a correlation? But then I was like, wait, that's Disney, you know, Star Wars is Disney, so no, they can all go together. So,
he doesn't need to be under the helmet. He can film scenes with his helmet off, and all he needs to do is voice, and he's good to go. Like, he can be Reed Richards and be like, hold up, let me take an hour and voice Mando real quick, and then go back to filming the Fantastic Four.
Yep, exactly. And
he's gonna get paid by Apple anyway.
All by Apple. You're right. all right. So what's this Avengers news?
Kang Dynasty lost their director, and now people are freaking out that they're gonna rewrite Phase 6 again. And so the director was the Shang-Chi director, Destin Daniel Cretton. He stepped down. I'm not too upset about that, because, like, dude, I did like Shang-Chi, but honestly, I don't think this man would be that good for the Avengers.
You know, I don't know. Dude, Marvel, I think, has turned into something else. And I've seen so much stuff about, like, dude, if you're a true director, you do not go and work. You do not do a Marvel movie, because you're not really getting to direct. It's almost like a TV show where it's a well-oiled machine. They know what they want. Yes, we just need someone to kind of take the lead on it, but you follow our direction. And, like, that's why it kind of makes sense, like, you know, people that have dropped out, like some of these people that are used to having full control, that is not what Marvel does. Whether that's good or bad, I think indifferent about it. I think we missed out on some potentially really good stuff, like Edgar Wright doing Ant-Man, I think would have been fucking awesome. But I think there's some truth to it with the whole, like, you kind of got to follow suit. So, like, what you're saying about the, you know, who was the, or Mark Webb? No, Jonathan Watts. John Watts doing Fantastic Four. Now he's dropped out, and there's a new director, and it's someone that's done TV. I'm like, it fits, right? It fits with how they do things. So I personally think it doesn't really matter, but on the flip side of that is, I think the Russo brothers, I think they did some amazing stuff with their Civil War, Infinity War, and Endgame. And I do think that was because of them, not because of Marvel. So
a director for a film speaks volume versus television. And that's a very good comparison. Cause if you look at Taika Waititi, he's reportedly stepping down or not going to be part of Thor 4. Dude, he's what made Ragnarok, and he's the one that made Love and Thunder. I mean, he rejuvenated the Thor character, because the first one was okay. The second one was probably the worst Marvel movie I've seen.
I like
just because there was no direction going on until we started seeing some variances. James Gunn, like, you know, he left Marvel. They're comic movies. They follow their own plots, but they have their master plot, but they could still have their own style. I'm excited for this Fantastic Four move, because that tells me that it's going to be serious. But it's, dude, if this guy's directing for it, so it's, he's done multiple episodes for It's Always Sunny. It's going to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Now maybe, okay. So reading a little bit more into this, King Dynasty director, is he was looking to step down so he could focus more on a sequel of Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. So,
okay.
Shang-Chi was fine. It was a good movie. I liked it. Yeah. I know it's one of the lowest rated Marvel movies, but you know what that kind of tells me? He's either stepping down, or Marvel like knows that they're going to scrap that project, just like DC and Warner Brothers scrapped a bunch of their projects. Because why would they put money into another Shang-Chi if it was one of the lowest ones, right next to Eternals and the Marvels? Like, I don't see it happening, you know?
Is that true? I thought Shang-Chi did well.
Did it? Maybe I'm doing it in comparison, because people are so down on Marvel movies with this current release of the Marvels.
Well, and yeah, and that's something that, you know, I kind of was going to bring up, was that at the box office, or at least the Marvels, is not doing well at the box office. I don't know. You saw it, so maybe you can talk about this in your review, but, you know, I don't know if that's deserving of it. Is it just a bad time to release? Is it fatigue from it? But I just pulled up Rotten Tomatoes and Shang-Chi, dude. That was a certified fresh. It's 92%, you know, from the critics, and 98% for the audience score.
Wow.
And then Marvel's, let's see what that is at. Yeah, that one's not certified fresh. It's like 62 for critics, 84 for audience. So,
Shang-Chi was that good, huh? I mean, I like it. It was something different.
The Eternals is the one, dude. That was the thing that was just terrible.
It was bland.
Yeah, I thought it was Eternals. I can spell
Eternals.
Yeah, that one was like 47% rotten, 77% for audience. I don't know.
Still playing the director.
I'm not concerned at all. Plus, how far away are we on that?
There's no release date on this.
Yeah, like, dude, like, they probably will rewrite all that and.
I guess my big concern is Jonathan Majors. Like, how serious is that, and how much is Disney trying to cover that up?
Dude, I thought we're kind of done with that, aren't we? Because, I mean, he was just, isn't he all over Loki season 2? Like, I don't know if they would have released that if they had so much issue, he was still having so much legal issues.
Well, apparently, if you watch the end of Loki season 2, they kind of rode away out of King.
Oh, well, and that's the other part, too, is that this Avengers movie, like, they could totally scrap this whole thing, and maybe that's part of the issue.
Right? Because they could rewrite all the original Avengers, which they were rumored to do, or this new young Avengers. I don't know. It's too far out. I just want my X-Men. That's all I've been saying.
Yeah, so much shit, but you're getting into your review, so let's do it.
Punch and ice. Do you hear when people crunch ice in the microphone?
Like in podcasts?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I feel like I listen to professional podcasts.
Yeah. If you're a professional, don't cough in the mic. Don't crunch ice or eat snacks while recording.
I think we've probably done all of those.
My favorite was a goldfish episode.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Saw 1 through 8 suck. I learned my lesson. Good. Peter.
Yeah. Right, Ryan.
We're getting into it. So I bit the bullet. I stood by my word and I went to go see the Marvels. This is what I gotta say about this. Disney needs, if they're gonna release this crap, it needs to be longer, because this movie was only 1 hour and 45 minutes long.
I mean, I feel like that's perfect, but
you think continue? So? That'd be perfect for a fucking miniseries.
What? I don't know what you're talking about, dude. Do you feel like it was rushed? I mean, yes, you said
everything everything about this movie was rushed. There was no character development whatsoever. Yes, I know we have Monica Rambeau and then we have Carol Danvers, but I still don't know what Carol Danvers' fucking problem is. Like, what was the first one called?
It's just Captain Marvel.
I was going to say Miss Marvel. Captain Marvel. Like, I got, like, the whole 90s vibe, and, like, it was the beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D. and was it S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it wasn't really about Captain Marvel. It was more about Nick Cage. So then they made a sequel and they're like, we have to tell a story about her. Oh, shit. Okay. Bring in these two other Marvel looking chicks and have them like swap places whenever they use their powers. And then they shoehorn this villain from Hala. And I was like, I've seen her before, but I don't recognize where she's from. And she was the lamest fucking villain I've ever dealt with in a Marvel movie ever. She had no, like, baddie to her whatsoever. She just got a secret bangle, and she was, like, making time wormholes and out of control. And they had to stop it.
Like a cat?
Like a bangle. Like a wristband. Like what Miss Marvel has.
Oh, yeah. That's how they're connected, huh?
Yeah. So then that's where the little Kamala Harris comes into play, or Kamala Khan, because she has the other bangle, and they're like trying to out-Marvel each other. And they're all doing this in 1 hour and 45 minutes. Too much shit in one movie that's too short. But I feel like this is where Disney was just like, yeah, we realize we don't know what we're doing with this movie, so just kind of like release it, make some money, and let it sweep it under the rug. And throw in some extra credit scenes and set up the next Avengers. Go ahead and do that. That's what this movie was about. That being said, I'm going to spoil the fuck out of this movie because I don't think anybody's really going to watch it.
You heard the alerts.
Yeah. Carol Danvers needs to go back and redeem herself for destroying Hala. That's the point of the movie.
What the hell is Hala?
It's a planet that she destroyed when she was... I forgot the name they were calling her. They were calling her like the Destroyer or some stupid name like that. And she's like, don't call me that.
And she destroyed a planet like on purpose or an accident?
It was an accident, but the people of Hala thought she did it on purpose.
So do they show her destroying this planet in the beginning of the film?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was like, did I miss something in some other movie?
Right? Because they didn't show any of this in any other movies, right?
Yeah. Okay, so like, she destroys the planet.
Captain Marvel didn't show this in any sort of Avengers or any sort of Carol Danvers backstory. Like, none of this was ever shown.
This a flashback?
Apparently, that's how they showed it. Like, it felt like it took time and place in Thor. And that's where that Valkyrie just like, dude, that cameo from Valkyrie was so lame. She showed up in her suit and she was just like, all right, so I'll take those people and create a new society. Oh, it was the Skrulls. And she's like, okay, see ya. And then that was it. That was the cameo.
She took the Skrulls, and that ties into the whole Nick Fury series, huh?
Mm-hmm. And
Secret Invasion.
And destroying their planet to save Hala because this villain was trying to save Hala. Let me pull up this villain's name. It'd make more sense. I forgot her stupid name. See, it was just stupid. Like, I'm actually upset with myself that I fell for the trap of the teaser.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're explaining why it's not doing so well in the box office. And I feel like it's not because it's because it's a crappy movie. Like,
yeah, it truly is just a crappy movie. Like, there's zero character development whatsoever in this movie. They just want you to like assume that you know it. And they even threw all the acronyms SWORD and SABER. And they're just like, here you go. It's like they're trying to set up the next wave of Marvel movies, but with no backstory whatsoever. Who's this villain? Dar Ben. See, she doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. She's so lame. A Kree warrior revolutionary wielding the accuser hammer, an identical bangle to Kamala's, who is trying to restore her homeland after a civil war.
Is there, from watching that latest trailer, is there an Infinity Stone in this?
No.
Okay. Because it really looked like, because right in Guardians of the Galaxy, that the Accuser had that hammer thing, but the Infinity Stone, the Power Stone, was in there. This, she just has the hammer, but no Infinity Stone, but has the wrist gauntlet thing.
Yeah, the Accuser hammer was giving the bangle more power.
Okay, I guess I didn't realize that hammer was so strong without an Infinity Stone.
See, I didn't know that either, and they didn't explain that in the movie.
Okay, yeah, but
and Peter, like, at one point they talk about how that power, that hammer has power in what it could do, but then after that they're like, there's no other reference to it whatsoever. And I think even the little Indian girl decides to like use her power and knock it out of her hand. So how powerful is it if she can just like boop it out of her hand like nobody's business?
I hope they start doing that in Marvel movies where like she's just using her powers. Boop, boop.
I also didn't realize Monica Rambeau was so pissed off at Carol Danvers.
Did you? I think there was some talk of that in something.
WandaVision?
Maybe. Is she, 'cause she's upset that she left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the whole point why she didn't talk to her this entire time. And then Carol Danvers is just like, well, I'm sorry. I was out busy being Captain Marvel. Yeah.
I mean, so far you're solidifying the reason why I didn't want to go see this, and
too many plot holes.
Yeah,
not enough explanation, and the way that they save everything, Peter. I'm not kidding. It's through that cat.
Through of that course, it's always through the cat.
The cat multiplies like gremlins. Oh. These little weird egg brain things, and then they all hatch and all these little kittens come out, and Nick Fury's ship is getting destroyed, so all the little baby cats eat the people on the ship, and they put them in an escape pod, send them back to Earth, and make them throw up, and all the people are out of and they're fine, which was hilarious. But if that's your like major like plot point to save this movie and save the people on Shield, Sword, or Saber, whatever they are, that just, you just devalued the most powerful superhero in the MCU universe. And you also devalued her by bringing in Monica Rambeau and then a 13-year-old girl whose powers aren't even correct from the comic books.
Yeah, yeah, they totally changed her up.
Like doesn't she have stretchy arms and hands and stuff?
Yeah, that was her thing in the comic books. Yeah. Okay. So let me ask this. Like, in the first trailer, like, it was all about, like, how they would, like, anytime they use their powers, right, they would switch. How was that? Was that entertaining? I mean, was there fun moments with that? Or is that just a gimmick?
It was very gimmicky. Okay. It was fun when they didn't know how to use it, but then they had a montage scene of how they learned how to use it. Mm. And then it got confusing.
Okay.
Because they were using it to their advantage while fighting, but then what it just turned into was just random warping during a complicated fight scene. And
it made it more complicated. I think they kind of explained it in the trailer, but did they actually explain it better in the movie?
Like, why it all had to do with the bangle, and it all had to do with
I don't like calling it a bangle. Let's call it a gauntlet, because every time you say bangle, I think of a cat.
Well, I say bangle because that's what little Kamala Khan called it. She goes, "Yeah, it's my bangle." Hmm. So they don't even call it a gauntlet either.
Well, they probably can't use it because I feel like that's a DC thing.
The Infinity Gauntlet?
Oh, good point. Maybe that's why they want to separate. Like, we already did the gauntlet. Let's be done with the gauntlet. Isn't that what do you call, like, Wonder Woman's things right here? They're not bangles, are they? I thought they were gauntlets.
Wonder Woman. Oh, Adblock Plus. What am I looking at? Woman.
Like wrist
cuffs?
Wrist cuffs. Why don't we call them that? Let's call them wrist cuffs.
Okay. So the fight scenes, okay, so where it benefited them was they each had their own power, right? Like, mm-hmm. Captain Marvel was super strong. She had Captain Marvel fucking power. She could fly and stuff. Monica Rambeau can transport through people. And then Kamala Khan could control things out of the air and make objects, is my understanding.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Sure. During the fight scenes, once they were in sync of that, they use that to their advantage, which, fine, okay. Where this movie was self-aware, okay, this is what I want to talk about. At the end, can I tell you the end?
I don't care.
Okay.
No.
Spoiler alert. Kamala Khan goes to what's Haley Steinfeld's, Kate Bishop's house.
Oh, you're talking about the after, like, mid credit scenes and post credit scenes. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, because the ending really doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, I mean, obviously, I kind of figure they saved the day. But yeah. Okay, hang on.
Oh, let me
real fast.
Let's go back. Yeah,
they said this was like a changer of the MCU. Is the movie actual, or is the post-credit scenes the changers?
Let me set it up. So Monica Rambeau is, they're trying to decide, like, they're trying to figure out who's going to close this last wormhole. And Monica Rambeau's the one that does it. She goes on the other side, and she uses her power enough from the sun to close it, because Carol Danvers has to go to the planet Hala to put enough energy to bring it back to life. And Kamala Khan does nothing. Meanwhile, Rambeau sacrifices herself, and she's like, I'm going to stay in this universe, while Carol Danvers is like, no, you shouldn't do that. And then, long story boring, they all end up at the house in Louisiana where Rambeau lives. Then Kamala Khan goes to Kate Bishop's house and sets up
they're going to, like, sacrifice each other, and they didn't sacrifice one another?
Monica Rambeau did.
Oh, but then how do they all get up to the house?
Not all of them. Just Kamala's family and Carol Danvers.
Oh, okay.
So Monica Rambeau's out of the picture.
Gotcha.
She's on the other side in another multiverse, in another universe.
Is and this then, racist? Is this like, you know, like the horror flicks where the black person's always first to go?
This movie was super racist. They made a lot of racist jokes about Indian people, Black people, and Asian people.
Interesting.
And people with song. Yeah. So, the third time's a charm. Kate Bishop walks back as being Hawkeye, and then Kamala Khan's like, and it's not even a serious moment. It's like she has Nick Fury's iPad, and she's like, I have some intel on you. And she's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, we need to start the new initiative, the Young Avengers. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. That's what you guys are going with? You guys are going to start with 2 12-year-old girls to be the Avengers? Sweet. Love it. Then you get your extra credit scene of Monica Rambeau waking up on a bed, and she looks over, and her mom is there. And remember, her mom was Captain Marvel's like sidekick, or yeah. She was like her partner, right? Right,
best friend. They both flew planes and everything. Yeah,
and she starts crying, and she looks over, and she goes, "So good to see you." And she, her mom is just like, "I don't know who the fuck you are." And then she gets up, and she's wearing a suit, and she's talking to someone, and he's big and blue, and wears glasses, and sounds like Frasier. And you get to see a very poorly CGI'd Beast talking to Binary, which is that universe's Captain Marvel, who is part of the X-Men, and Monica Rambeau's in that universe. So now we're getting Young Avengers and X-Men, but we don't know when or how.
Yeah. Let me... Like I think I'm starting to see why these aren't doing so well anymore. I think it was so fun in the beginning with Marvel, the MCU, and everything, and seeing these characters. But I mean, right? We had like pretty much like 5 main people, right, in the Avengers. It was kind of easy to follow. And then they started like, all right, doing more, and they'd add in a few more. But again, like all of them were pretty, again, kind of easy to follow. Like the ways they introduce characters is actually pretty, it worked out well. Probably the ones that didn't work out so great was Captain Marvel. I felt like that was probably unnecessary. Anyways, now you're getting to this area where you got tons of weird shit going on with all these multiverses and everything. And I wonder, like, for the typical viewer, like, this is a little bit too much. Like, even for me, like, I know all this. I know some of this shit. I shouldn't say I know all this shit, but like, even this sounds like this is too much. And the fact, like, oh, there's another initiative for the Young Avengers. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. Like, why would we want to get inexperienced people as Avengers? Like the way like the Young Avengers kind of came about was like out of necessity. It wasn't like, I don't think it was an initiative. And so now you have, and again, these other universes. And so how does like the typical viewer supposed to keep up with all this weird shit that's happening? Like it just sounds like too much.
You're right. Screen Rant just broke down the 10 MCU credit scenes that still haven't paid off yet. So they're creating all these characters in these last post-credit scenes that aren't doing anything. And so you're looking at Adrian Toomes meets Max Gargan in prison after Spider-Man Homecoming. The original Guardians of the Galaxy reunite. We still haven't seen anything with that. Carl Mordo of Earth 616 wants to kill all sorcerers. Forgot where that came from. Dane Whitman, acquires the Ebony Blade. So we get to see the post-credit from Eternals, which was Black supposed Knight. To set up Black Knight and Blade. Nothing yet from there. Howard the Duck. Nothing.
Wow.
Xia Ling takes over 10 rings. Nothing. Sharon Carter is a power broker. Nothing from that either. Adam Warlock. We got that one. Harry Styles as Thanos' brother. Nothing there yet. Nick Fury's in space with the Skrulls. I guess we start to see that, but it's too much. There's a lot going on, and it's too much. And you're right. We don't need a young Avengers and X-Men right now. We just need the fucking X-Men.
Well, and that, I think that's what I'm saying is that, do we need this all to be connected? Because that's the issue. They're just pulling at everything. We got to make sure this is all connected because that's their gimmick. But maybe that gimmick has kind of run out. And mm-hmm. now you need to almost follow DC's things where, like, hey, maybe some of this stuff's going to be connected, but let's have some standalone stuff. Like if they just did a straight up just X-Men movie and it didn't have any ties in at all, and then maybe down the road they tied it in, like, maybe that's what they need to do. Like, yep. It's just, it feels like it's too much, and there's too much going on with all these movies to connect them where people are like, this is too complicated, so I don't give a shit anymore. Like, that's almost like, I feel like that's kind of where I'm going right now. Like, you just describing everything, like, yeah, I'll see this movie eventually, but I'm definitely not going to go see it in the movie theater. And probably whenever it does come out to Disney Plus, it's not going to be like the first thing I watch. Like, it's just going to be something where, like, oh, I'm bored today, I'm going to watch this. Mm-hmm. But it is just everything you're adding. Like, it used to be really fun, these post-credit scenes and, like, oh, what's to come, you know? But you're right. Like, there's just so many things where, like, you know, for the Eternals especially, I'm wondering about some of those, like, and there was two post-credit scenes that didn't pay off, and my thinking is that movie sucked, and so there's a very good strong, like, a good chance that maybe those will never come to fruition because it sucked.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm serious. Kinda,
yeah, and maybe the same thing with Doctor Strange, where, you know, it seemed like maybe they had an idea of what maybe the second Doctor Strange could be with setting up a villain for the next one. But then they went like, oh, we're going down this multiverse road. So you're out. We're doing something different. And then even with that one, the end of that post-credit scene had something else that it set up too with this whole multiverse. And who knows if that will ever pay off with Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, I just...
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Wasn't it her? No. Again? Sorry. Not Glennis. Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah. Charlize Theron. I remember that.
She's... Gwyneth Paltrow was Pepper Potts. My bad. Yeah, but they brought her in at the end of Doctor Strange 2, and who knows what's going to happen with that. It might... Probably nothing should happen with that, but... We'll see.
All I gotta say is this movie. A lot of people have some problems with this movie, but this movie being woke is not the problem they should have with it. It's not woke. Like, it can be a movie for a certain demographic. And I don't think that fans need to look into this too much. I didn't talk about that during the review and spoiling it because, honestly, like, I went into this and the biggest problem from critics and reviewers and whatnot is they feel this movie is too woke and it's trying to push an agenda. And let me just say this but this movie can't even capture its own plot or character development to push an agenda. So I wouldn't even worry about that as a fan. You know,
okay.
Like, Disney needs to focus on actually making a good movie before fans need to start worrying about what kind of agenda they're pushing. So I'm a little afraid of what's going on because 2024, dude, we're only getting one movie.
Yeah, but it's Deadpool 3, and I'm excited about that. But I think that's due to the writer strike and an actor strike. But then come 2025. They're throwing everything at us, and
we better open our buttholes up wide.
Exactly. And my hope is that maybe they had enough time to kind of think through some of this stuff and course correct. But, oh man, what was I just reading? What's Is it Deadpool 3? It can't be Deadpool 3. Oh, Captain America, the fourth one. They're doing like, is it 4 months of research shoots? Like they're like that was supposed to come out like early 2024 because it's so bad, apparently. And the audience doesn't like it. They're like almost reshooting like full action scenes. Like they're doing massive reshoots, which is very concerning. But at the same time, like, okay, well, I hope these reshoots are actually going to make it better. And not like it sounds like from here, they did a whole bunch of reshoots for this movie and it still sucks. So that's the part that's worrisome.
Disney has a bad CGI problem. I don't know why or how their movies have gotten so bad at CGI. But like you watch a movie like The Creator and like the CGI looks so real and so part of the movie. And then you watch the Marvels and I mean, I looked at Beast. And I know it's an end credit scene and they probably didn't put too much because it's 3 seconds of his face. But I'm like, dude, those 3 seconds better be like the most defining moment of this character's first appearance. And it's like they don't care because they did it with Thanos. Remember the first couple times we saw Thanos? He looked terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
But long story short, Peter, this is a movie you wait. And you're absolutely right. Like, if it's on, go ahead and watch it. But I wouldn't go out of your way to watch it, dude.
Yep. I will not. And I'm going to go pee.
And Peter's final thought about Captain Marvel or the Marvels or Miss Marvel or Monica Rambeau.
Can you hear it?
That's his final thought. Right there.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there's lots of pee breaks during this.
If I was drinking during this month and this movie, I would have had 4 pee breaks.
Oh, man.
Then my two.
Sober November or something or what?
Yeah. I'm taking a little siesta.
Hiatus. Oh, siesta?
Yeah.
Nice. I think that's always good. That's yeah, I think that's a wise thing. I thought about that too. But not tonight.
Not tonight. I saw that Avalanche. I bet it was tasty.
Oh, that was Odell.
What's Odell?
They have a few different ones. It was a variety. Heck, I had the Colorado or something. It was pretty tasty. It was good. It was a lager.
The Odell version of the Avalanche?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, no, the Walker's light. The Avalanche is an amber.
Yeah.
One last thing to wrap up the Marvels is they had a really funny scene where they went to a planet and the entire race's language was song. And you find out that Carol Danvers was a princess and this was Disney's way of making her an actual princess.
Oh yeah, I heard that was scene was even longer than what was put on to the final version, and that was actually really great. Did you like that part?
I thought it was funny. I thought it was one of those parts where, hey, some of these movies don't need to take themselves too seriously, and they're just gonna let them be what they are. And you get to see Brie Larson dance around in a Disney princess dress and try and save that planet. So that part was well done. The kitty part was well done. Kamala Khan was super annoying throughout the whole movie. Super annoying.
That's so funny because I feel like I've seen other reviews where like she was like the shining spot of it. So
yeah, if you like a little 13-year-old whining and talking like this the whole time and screaming, like, no. Almost walked out.
Gotcha.
When she was falling through the sky. And she hit the ground.
What
did you watch?
I watched Five Nights at Freddy's.
The simultaneous release from the movie and on, what was it, Peacock?
Peacock, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did not go to the movie theater for it. don't know. Would it have been better in the movie theater? Maybe. I don't know. Okay. I kept on comparing this to Wally's Wonderland,
mm-hmm.
Nicolas Cage. And I think I'll just say, I think that movie was a better movie. I like that one. And maybe that's just because I'm a Nicolas Cage fan. I don't know. But I will say this is not a bad movie. Okay. I think it's okay. The difference is that, I mean, this is only PG-13, you know, there was nothing that like, oh shit, man, that was awesome. You know, like nothing like that happened in this movie for me. And then I guess the whole premise is very similar to Willy's Wonderland, is that, spirits possess animatronics at this like Chuck E. Cheese esque place, but it's Freddy's something pizzeria or some shit like that. Crap, what is his name? Oh shit, being unprofessional.
edit.
Nope, just gonna let it be. Dang it, why? Josh Hutcherson. Yeah. Hutcherson. Okay. Yeah. He is like the main guy. And I think what they did, maybe this is the part that they did better at than like Wally's Wonderland, was like there's actually like backstory, right? Like there was somewhat in Wally's Wonderland, but not so much with Nicolas Cage's character. Our main guy, Josh Hutcherson, like he actually has a background, and it's actually, you know, it's pretty, I guess, dark. but he is basically, his parents are gone. I won't go into details on it. It's just him and his sister now. You know, it's one of those things where I shouldn't be taking care of my sister. And everyone's saying like, no, like your sister loves you, you know, like you are her person, but like, there's like an aunt or something that wants to like, you know, like, hey, I should be taking care of her. And it's that whole dynamic. He has like his demons. Sorry. I ran out of my beer and now I got nothing to wet my whistle. He needs a job. No job, you know, he's got to provide for his sister. And so he takes this night job at the Freddy's Fazbear Pizza. And so he's just the security, has to stay there all night. that's all he has to do. Just night security guard. Starts going down. Obviously, stuff happens. He ends up taking his sister there. And I think this is very similar to what happened in Wally's Wonderland, is, you know, these animatronics want the sister as well. And so now it's a fight to, you know, keep that from happening. There's some other twists and turns. I don't want to give away anything. You know, I never played these games. I don't know how true this is to the video games. I won't spoil it like Ryan did with it, because I guarantee this movie is better than the Marvels.
Well, it did pretty well at the box office for what it was. And I mean, the way that you describe it is, it's like a PG-13 Willy's Wonderland, and Willy's Wonderland was a good movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is basically it. But it's also like, it has a backstory. So,
technically, what came first, Five Nights at Freddy's or Willy's Wonderland? Because I feel like Willy's Wonderland was Yeah, because this came out first as a game, and I think Willy's Wonderland was like, shit, we can totally make that into a rated R movie. And then Five Nights at Freddy's like, oh, wow, that was actually a good movie. We can pull that off and make it PG-13.
Yeah, I think that's what initially happened with Wally's Wonderland was that this is basically what it was supposed to be. Things happen and went down and probably didn't have the rights. And so like, all right, well, let's pivot and let's do this. Same concept, but totally, you know, somewhat totally different concepts. And they get away with it. The other one I just thought was Wally's Wonderland was much more of a, you know, campy B movie, where this one was trying to be not so much that, right? This is just a straight kind of horror thriller. But because it's PG-13, right, it can't get into the gruesomeness, you know? Like they imply certain things and like, all right, that works. But Wally's it
was fun because they had some funny, like, implied sex scenes, too.
Is that, yeah, there was a lot of stuff that, like, is, again, it was better because of the rated R. They got to do a lot more. They're a lot more free with this. This, you know, like, again, I haven't played the game, but they try to stay, I think, true to that and also have a PG-13 rating where you can't do as much. Yeah. You know, I thought like the costumes were all good. You know, the overall story I think is good as well. It leaves room for a sequel, which I mean, I would watch a sequel to it. Matthew Lillard is in it for a bit, and he's good in it. I like him a lot, and it was fun to see him in this movie.
Shaggy?
Oh, yeah, Shaggy was in it. I apologize for all this coughing. This is there's like hair or something. There's like that Pikachu fuzz in my throat.
Peter, you can't eat the Pokemon.
Actually, can you? Grow them up.
Do people in Pokemon Land eat Pokemon?
That is a very
sorry. I didn't mean to hijack your review, but
that's makes just you think. Makes you think.
Like, do you get fried Pikachu for Easter?
Yeah, potentially.
Oh. Anyway, sorry.
Squirrel, yeah. I'm sure they had to have like deal with poachers before, right? That's got to be a thing.
I mean, you are hunting them for game, but do you eat them? Like, dude, whole nother podcast.
Yeah, a whole nother one. That's a quick question right there. Yeah, I don't know how much more to say. It's well made, you know. I think I got to wrap this up because I'm going to cough nonstop. I don't know what's going on.
Wrap it up, peeper.
Yeah, I will. So, overall, good movie. I think, though, I would say watch Wally's Wonderland if you're a fan of this podcast. I think that's a more superior film. All right. I don't know what I inhaled, but let's get to our recommendations.
You know, it only happened after you left the bathroom.
God. Yes! Yes! Oh! 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 Oh, God! Oh,
I'll have what she's having.
I'll have whatever is on my television right now.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
It's women's wrestling.
Oh, nice.
But that's not my recommendation, Peter. This girl's wearing a Scooby-Doo outfit.
Hey, it's connected. Full circle.
Peter, I'm going to recommend Thanksgiving.
Okay.
The movie. Because I feel like it's going to be awesome tomorrow. I'm going to try and go tomorrow.
Well, I can't wait to hear about that. I think I'm going to keep
excited for this. Yeah.
It looks good. It's going to be fun just to have a fun slasher movie. My thing is, I'll keep it simple too, because I need to get some water, man. But I think we just talked about it. My recommendation, and I fully plan on doing this, is I'm going to go rewatch Wally's Wonderland. So that's what I'm going to do, and that's my recommendation. It's fantastic, and it has Nicolas Cage. So win.
Peter, another one to recommend, and it just showed up on VOD, was that Vacation movie with Nick Cage. We watched a trailer about it, and he's like part spy.
Oh.
The Retirement Plan.
Yeah. Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, that's on VOD. Creator. Go watch that too, please. That's a good one.
Okay.
And then another one that popped up on VOD was Monsters of California. Remember that trailer from
Tom DeLonge? Yeah.
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 Yep, yep. Okay. So you got some good stuff to watch.
Yeah, I do. Well, I'm going to push more off of those other things I was going to try to catch up on because that sounds better. Peter, I still want to watch Wally's Wonderland. So
my last recommendation to you is that we wrap it up so you can get some water.
Do it!
Peter.
Got some. I need that.
Be sure to visit bmoviesyard.com.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. Pour it down.
Yeah, put it down your throat.
Yeah.